Revelation chapter 20. Begin reading with verse 1, reading the entire chapter, 15 verses. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again, and the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. When 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are at the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your goodness, mercy, and love. Thank you for the great salvation that we have in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful the surety of it is in you and your Son and the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father, that tonight that you'd be pleased to use your word in the way, Lord, that you have purposed and planned for it to be used for your honor and glory. We are thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his soon return. We're thankful that one day that we, as we've even read here, that Satan will be bound. We know there will come the final time to where that he'll be cast in the lake of fire. Now, Father, we realize that he's alive and he's on planet Earth. And we pray, Father, and his influence is, we contend with his influence every day. We pray you'd give us grace and give us strength, that we would, even in these trying times, these last days, that we would be faithful to you even unto death. And then, Lord, if there comes a coldness or a slackness in our life, we pray that you may send the very thing that we need to cause us, Lord, to turn back to you and to serve you. We pray for those of our church that are cold and indifferent and, Lord, seemingly have forsaken thee in many things. We know, Lord, that you know exactly what they need, and we pray that you'd be pleased to bring it in their lives. Now, Father, I ask that you would guide, direct, lead, forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. Many truths are found here in Revelation chapter 20. It's a glorious book. We could possibly be as close to 7 years of this time that is mentioned here in Revelation chapter 20. Now, Revelation, of course, is a prophetic book. It's one that speaks much of the end time. It has to deal, and starts off basically with the Lord's presence among His churches, the seven churches of Asia Minor. But then as he goes through here, John reveals some things that he saw and God revealed unto him in the book of Revelation, and much of it is concerning the end time. And I believe that we are living in the end time. You might say tonight, how could we be as close as 7 years to Revelation chapter 20? The reason I say that is because there's only 7 years of tribulation in the tribulation period. And we could be right at the time of Jacob's trouble, or right at the time of the tribulation period. And when that comes, and when God begins to pour out the judgment of His wrath, and when that comes, and then after the 3.5 years comes to the great tribulation, there is only 7 years from the rapture of the catching out of the saints of God till this time that's found here in Revelation chapter 20. Now, there's many truths, as I said, and as I read through here, I just saw some things. You know, I thought, now I got to say something about this, and I got to say something about this, and I got to think, and I got to say something about this. Well, I can't say something about all of it tonight. I'm confident of that, but I would not like to skip, hop, and jump around. But sometimes that happens. But if you'll notice, there are many that deny many things. There are those that deny the reality of Satan. There are those that say Satan is not real. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible tells us that Satan is real and that Satan is a person. Revelation chapter 20 declares this, for when it talks about the final confinement of Satan, and I like the word prison. Did you notice when I read through there, in this 20th chapter, it talks about his prison. A prison that God had prepared. A place that God had prepared for Satan where that he would be bound. And the time that he's going to be bound is also described as a lengthy time. So there are people who deny the reality of Satan. There are people that deny that if there is a Satan, they deny that he can be bound. And then there are people that deny that there is a 1,000 years millennium reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there are people that deny that there is a great white throne judgment. And there are people that deny that the great white throne judgment are for those that are going to die the second day. Now that ain't all that's denied about Revelation chapter 20. But these are some of the highlights, or the things that are brought out here in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 15, that people emphatically deny because they would perhaps say that the Bible must be taken by an historical interpretation rather than literally, and it must be taken always figuratively rather than literally. But I believe, and they say, well, how preposterous it is to say that you can take Revelation chapter 20 literally. And one of the things that they have to say here about this, and you'll notice when he begins and when he starts off here in Revelation chapter 20, I want to notice a few thoughts from this. In verse 1, immediately it says there in Revelation 20, and he said, and I saw an angel, and where did this angel come from? This angel didn't come from the earth, but I saw an angel come down from heaven. So if an angel came down from heaven, who sent the angel? What are angels? Angels are that do God's bidding. They sometimes work as messengers. They are always seemingly the servants of Almighty God. And so when John said, he said, I saw an angel come down here from heaven. And we
right off, we know that if the angel came down from heaven, that God sent him. And God sent him for a purpose. Now, and they go on and read, some deny there's angels. Angelology, they deny that. That there are angels. Some would deny that there were angels in the Old Testament, there were angels in the New Testament. Some would deny that we even have guardian angels. But the Bible, I believe, is very clear. And if we, and of course, if you do not receive the Bible as the Word of God, if you argue about, if you sit around and argue about, well, part of this is Bible and part of it's not, what part are you going to believe? What part are you going to receive? Brethren, there's 66 books beginning in Genesis and going through Revelation. It is all of the inspired, inerrant, plenary Word of God that God has given and God has given to us. And so when we come into this, we see, it says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven. Now, who was the angel? I don't know. And neither do you. Now, many of us, you know, always, what happens sometimes, we get hung up in Scripture on some things and forget what's really being taught. We get to arguing over who the angel was, and forget about the angel came from God, came down from heaven, came from God, and what the angel was sent to do. But many believe, and many think, of course, that the angel was Michael. I don't know. It could be. Could very well be. Michael is referred to in the Word of God time and time again. If you'll look in the book of Jude, and look with me in Jude, and there in somebody, we was in the conference, and somebody said, Jude chapter 1. And I thought, well, that's pretty good because there's just so many verses and there ain't no chapter 1 or chapter 2 of Jude. It's just so many verses. And so he said in Jude there and in verse 9. And we do know that Michael, the archangel, is referred to and used several times by God. And notice here how that God had commissioned or God was using Michael. And notice how that who he was dealing with. Now look, Jude 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, pretty strong fellow to contend with. Now there was something they were disputing, contending about, and of course that's another thought or message within itself. They weren't contending or disputing about Moses. They're disputing about the body of Moses. Who's going to get the body? See, that's another sermon that he said. Because even the devil is not satisfied with just your soul. That is, spending an eternity where the worm dieth not and where the fart is not quenched, but the devil is also interested in what happens to your body. And so, many believe that this angel here in Revelation verse 1 was Michael. Could have been. I don't know. Could have been. I would just soon believe it was Michael as any of the others that was mentioned in the Word of God. And he said, yet in verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, which contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuked thee. So Michael did not have power to rebuke the devil. We do not have power to rebuke the devil. But we find that we can rebuke the devil in the name of the Lord or by the Word of God. But I do know, and it, I don't know how it makes you feel, but they were disputing about the body of Moses. So, if you pursue that and go into the places in the Scripture that what happens to a person when they die, we say, oh, well, you know, their body goes in the grave. It does. But you know, you think about Moses, where he died, how he died. How that it was not marked. The grave was not marked. And so we see here that no doubt it could possibly be here, this angel here that came down from heaven, which came from God, here in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1, could have been Michael. Look in Revelation chapter 12 with me and verse 7. And I want you to see in this verse of Scripture, "And there was war in heaven." Who was it? Michael and his angels. Notice, Michael and his angels. We find that Michael was an archangel. He ranked among angels. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So Michael not only had some angels, but the dragon, which is Satan, had some angels also. What it is, fallen angels. And so we see that the angel is thought to be Michael, and no doubt because of many places mentioning the Scripture could no doubt be. And notice, though, that what God had given to this angel from heaven here in Revelation 1, having the key. Now somebody said, how could you have a literal key to a bottomless pit? Well, with man, that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Why should I believe it to be anything else but a key? That's what it says. Having the key of the bottomless pit, and then they said, and a great chain in his hand. Said, how in the world could Satan be bound with a chain? Well, when I think about a chain, I think about the three that I keep in my pickup truck. They're log chains. But those chains have been made by man. But I don't have no problem when I think about this chain being God's chain. A chain made by God. And so I don't have any problem with the angel having a key in his hand and also a chain that he's going to use. And I believe that he's saying it literally where we can understand what you do with a key. You lock and you unlock, and what you do with a chain, you bind something. So I have no problem whatsoever with this, and God has so designed this that we could understand this. He had not only the keys to the pit, but he had, and you'll notice what kind of a chain was it? Was it a log chain? Look at it. What does it say? What kind of chain was it? A great chain. Now my log chain's not a great chain. I got some heavy ones, but they can be broken. You can put enough bulldozers to the chains I've got and pull them in two. And the reason you can't is because man has placed his hand upon them and man has made them, but a great chain that God has can't be broken. And I believe that this is the message that God wants us to understand and wants us to see, that here there will be, that during this time there will be no fear. Now, what's he going to do with this key to the bottomless pit and this great chain? See, if you can just start off denying certain things in the Bible, then you come along and deny whatever you want to. You start off and you deny the first 10 or 11 chapters of Genesis, you'll wipe out the beginning. And what you wipe out most of all is the first statements made, in the beginning, God. And then you go down and you come up to a fellow by the name of Jonah, and he gets swallowed by a fish. And you say, that ain't, he can't no fish swallow no man. And so then you delete that. Then you come up to the miracles of Jesus. You come up to like the Red Sea. You go up to the Jordan River and you say, well, we can't buy that. We can't believe that. And so you just delete that. You come up to the miracles of Jesus and you delete that. And it's no trouble at all to delete the key and the chain. Here in Revelation chapter 20. I believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I believe He created everything that's formed therein. I believe also that
the fish swallowed Jonah, and if he'd said it the other way, I'd have believed Jonah swallowed the fish. Some people are that crazy to do things like that today. They swallow little fish, you know, for different purposes. And so, anything that is said in God's Word on the authority of the Scripture, I believe it to be so. And I believe here that there was a literal key. I believe there was a literal chain. It was a great chain, and it was a key, and such a tremendous key that it would open and close the bottomless pit. And it was of God's making and of God's design. Now, what was the purpose? And he, that is the angel, that had the key and had the great chain. Now, we don't have to think about who made the key and who made the chain. We know. And he, the angel, laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent. And, of course, we know that it's God's making. We know it's God that's doing this. It's God that laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which was the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So here's what people do. I'm not inferring that you do this. They don't believe there was a key like that. They don't believe there's a chain like that, and then they don't believe there's 1,000 years. And they don't believe that Satan was bound. You know, you've got to either believe all of it or believe none of it. It's exactly the way that it is, and so there is no doubt as to who is being bound. What did we read there? How is he described in that 12th chapter of Revelation and there in verse 7? How is he described? Look at this. Look at 7, 8, and 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Now look. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. Now look at how he describes it. That old serpent called who? Called the devil and Satan. He don't leave out anything. He brings him here, dragon, old serpent, devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast down the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So when we come back here to the Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2, and when he said he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, that means the devil himself. That means Satan. Now what's interesting, and years ago the Lord brought me to this, and you know, like everybody else, you're taught truth, and truth is taught to you, and you come to truth, and you read truth, and you see truth, and you study truth. And in the same 20th chapter, not only is the old serpent or the dragon mentioned, but he said where the beast and the false prophet are. And you know, through the years, you've heard me talk about the satanic trinity. Like we know that there's the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And of course, we find that old Satan is anti-God. And he's the one that heads up that other religious system. And then we find that the beast is the Antichrist, who heads up that false religious system. And we find that the false prophet declares himself as to be the Holy Spirit. But he is not, and he's the one that always points everybody to the Antichrist, and then the Antichrist points everybody to the anti-God. And so what we have mentioned in here in Revelation chapter 20, not only are we going to see that old anti-God, Satan the devil himself, was being bound, but we see how that his cohorts had already been bound. And how thankful that I am. And how that we ought to come to grips and say, oh, well, you know, the people would say the devil is a figment of your imagination. I'd never let the devil pull that kind of wool over my eyes. And so, what we have, there's no doubt as who's being bound. It's dragon. It's the old serpent.
It's the same one who tempted Eve. The very same one. He's the same one that has been around ever since the fall. That is recorded in the Word of God. When Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, listen to what he said in 2 Corinthians, and there in chapter 11 and in verse 3, he said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the who beguiled Eve, as the serpent." Really, who was it? It was the old devil or Satan that took up in that serpent. And you'll notice here, says, "As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And brother, that says a mouthful. And that's what's happening today. Many people's minds are being corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that merely, the simplicity that is in Christ, is how that Christ died for our sins, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day, and then how He went to the cross of Calvary there and shed His blood for our sins. And men's minds have been corrupted and taken away from that. What's been taken to things like baptism and church membership and what they refer to or call good works and all kinds of things. And the devil just led people completely away from that. And so what we find here in verse 2, there is no doubt who that we are talking about here that is going to be bound. So he's referred to as the dragon. He's referred to as the serpent, or we would see him and we say the old serpent. He really says serpent. The old serpent who tempted Eve. But then he is also mentioned in the Word of God many times as the devil. When John wrote, and I'm noticing 1 John chapter 3, and there in verse 8 it says, "For he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the what? For the devil sinneth from where? From the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And that's really what took place at Calvary. When was Satan really defeated? Satan was really defeated at Calvary. But we find that he, the old devil, is still the prince of the power of the air and has been allowed of Almighty God to remain and be the prince of the power of the air. But there is coming a day and a time, it's mentioned here in Revelation chapter 20, that that will no longer be true for what is going to happen to him. Now look, he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now I want to ask you, does that not show us who's in control? Does that not show us who is allowing the purpose and plan of God that God has decreed to be fulfilled in time? But there is coming a time that is described here in Revelation chapter 20 and here in verse 2. But brethren, he's not bound tonight. He's here. He will always do his dead level best to cause us to not praise the Lord and cause us not to worship the Lord and cause us to lose interest and cause us to not look to the Lord and cause us not to cry out to the Lord. But he'll cause us to look to ourselves and look to our own understanding and our own ways and our own thinking. And even he'll cause us many times to turn all the way away from God. It always breaks my heart when I see people turn from God and turn from serving God. And brethren, we're all capable of it because we're flesh and blood. Every one of us. And we ought to remember that, and we ought to keep that in mind. Now, he is described so many places. He's described as the old serpent. He's described as the dragon. He's described as the devil. The devil is accuser. The word devil means accuser or slander. It means the originator of sin. And Satan here, he's described many times in the Word of God. And when he's described as Satan, he means adversary. Our accuser is the devil, and our adversary is Satan. And they are one and the same person. I believe that Jesus best relates or gives this to us. And if there was anyone that could relate to us concerning Satan or recognize, helping us to recognize who that our adversary really is, it would be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. For listen to what is being said here in this. You remember, who was it that was the adversary of the Lord Jesus Christ? Satan. Now look in Luke and Mark chapter 1 and verse 13. And of course this is God had just got through saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then you'll notice in verse 13, "And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with wild beasts." And notice it says, "And the angels ministered unto him." So who was it there that was his adversary? Why, it was Satan who was his adversary. And Satan is the adversary not only of Christ, but he's our adversary. It is Satan who would, if he possibly could, were it not for the power and the grace of God, he would destroy us. It's Satan who it is that tries to ruin us. You know, many times we fall into the devil's trap. The devil lays a trap for us, and we fall into it, and when we do, we lose our influence. We lose our witness for God. And so we find that you say, "Well, does he have a great host working for him?" Well, certainly he does. And I believe that time and time again in the Bible or the Word of God, we see that he has a great host. Now, we find that it mentions in Revelation 12:4, and it says, and this is talking about the dragon or the old serpent. The dragon said, "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born." And so we see that he is a leader of a whole host that is at enmity with God and with the people of God. And so we find that he is our enemy. But yet we find here in this verse 2, he was bound. Bound him how long? 1,000 years. This is the first mention of the term 1,000 years. You don't find it anywhere else. And it is to be taken literally. It is mentioned 6 times. From chapter 2, from verse 2 here in chapter 20, down through verse 7. It is mentioned 6 times. And this is the first mention of Satan being bound. Go all the way back with me to the Apostle Peter. And listen to what he said there in 1 Peter chapter 5 and there in verse 8. Peter warns. And listen to what he says. "Be sober, be vigilant." Why? Peter says, "Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now there's only one way to resist him. You don't have the power to resist him. You can't of yourself say, "Well, I'm going to make him leave me alone. I'm going to quit doing this or I'm going to quit doing that." That is not the way that you resist him. But it says here in verse 9, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." That's why I believe firmly that the members of Olmsted Baptist Church need to know doctrine. You not only need to know doctrine, you need to believe doctrine. And you not only need to know and believe doctrine, but you need to receive doctrine. And so, the safeguard of our elderly people, our middle-aged people, and our young people from Satan is knowing doctrine. Knowing the Word of God and being grounded in the faith. That's why it's so important. Now, it takes days. It takes months. It takes years to be grounded in the truths of God's Word, to where that we can, by the faith, or in the faith, that we can resist and we can overcome by the grace of God the things of Satan. So the first mention here of 1,000 years is in this verse. It is to be taken literally. And we find that his... And when we think about Satan, his wicked host is not bound. I want you to see... Now, I really believe, and I think you agree with this, you know, when there was a conversation between the Apostle Peter and the Lord, and the Lord said, and I preached on this not too long ago, and he said, you know, who do men say that I am? And then he asked them, who do you say I am? And then he went on, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said back to him, he said, blessed is thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then he went on and he said this. He said, now I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. And of course, I believe there's a twofold impact, the meaning of that verse. I believe that it means that it will be in existence the very time that God has for it to be. It began the first year, the Lord's church began the first year of His public ministry, and it will be in existence. When He comes back for all the saved, the Lord's churches will still be here on earth, and they'll be operating for Him. It won't go out of existence then. All the saved will be raptured to heaven. The true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ will become the bride of Christ. And Revelation tells us very plainly. But the twofold meaning there in Matthew 16:18 is that it will not go out of existence. But another thought is that even though it will not go out of existence, all of the gates of the forces of hell will be targeted toward it and against it. And brethren, that's where we are now. That's why I believe in the last year to year and a half to 2 years, the forces of hell has been turned loose in the United States of America, and I believe that's why we could very well be within 7 years of Revelation chapter 20. Because at such a rampant, and even some of you are already gasping, I mean, because you know what I'm saying is true, but you could not ever have thought things would have changed as swiftly as they really have, and as they continue to change. And brother, it don't get better, it gets worse. Every day you hear of something that's more lewd, that's more wicked, that's more ungodly, that's more sinful, that is being turned loose upon us. And so we see that the devil not only is working himself, but the devil also has his group. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And I want you to notice in Ephesians chapter 6, and notice this passage of Scripture when the Apostle Paul was writing, and here's what he says. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 13. Paul told this to the church at Ephesus. Therefore, he was not only writing to them, but he was writing to us also. And here's what he told them in Ephesians 6 and in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, what's the armor of God? You've got to read on down through here and study and see what the armor of God is. Why? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I believe this has been from the very beginning, the devil. But then look what he says. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now I'm telling you,
It's something you all know and you're seeing. I'm telling you, we're living in a day when wrong is right and right is wrong. We're living in a day when a criminal cannot, he can go free, he cannot be convicted because of technicalities. We're living in a day when sin is rampant, when it is socially accepted, when people don't even sneeze at abortion, when people think nothing of homosexuality, when people think nothing of just walking up and shooting somebody or killing somebody. Brethren, that's more than flesh and blood. And I believe that we need to recognize this and we need to take this seriously. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against who? Against principalities and power, against powers. And who are they? They're the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And that means not giving up. And that means not joining. But that means standing for the Lord. That means knowing doctrine. That means telling people when they're wrong, they're wrong. And not being ashamed of it. And so we see here that no doubt, and I believe, and I fully believe this. I fully believe because of what is transpiring and happening so rapid. It is such a tremendous pace. It is unbelievable to the people of God. Have you ever in your lifetime seen such a day of wickedness? My dad will say, he'll make a statement to me every now and then, and I know what he's thinking. He can't believe it. If my grandpa was living, he wouldn't believe it either. Yours wouldn't either. If they could see the drastic change that is coming in our country. But this is just, this was coming. This is the end time. And his wicked host. And I believe this is who that Paul is warning them about. The wicked host of Satan. That is working today in the lives and in the persons of human beings here upon the face of this earth, and how that they're trying to drag down the human race that which that we live today. But then there are the people of God. And so he says, having done all, stand. But then I look forward with glee to this time. I do. Because look what's going to happen to him. And cast him into the bottomless pit. Now I believe that's somewhere deep in the center of the earth. I believe that's where it is. I believe it's a prison cell that has been reserved for a special person. It's referred to as Abyss. That's deep. That's bottomless. And you know, I believe that what it says there, not only will he be cast into that bottomless pit, but he, and shut him up. And notice, and set a seal upon him. No longer is he the prince of the power of the air. No longer does he have the liberty and have the freedom that he has today. And what is going to be taking place, and what is going to happen there, then there is going to be the righteous rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there will not be any iniquity or any sin that will be tolerated. While these weak-kneed, spineless tryhards today, the Lord will take care of them just like that. He'll wipe them off the face of the earth. Just like that. He's exactly what will happen. They will not be able to go on with all of this rigmarole that they go on with today. And the reason for it is old Satan here has been bound. He will be shut off from exercising his wills for 1,000 years. And the entrance to this bottomless pit will be sealed. He cannot then direct his demonic host. They will be bound in appropriate compartments that God has so designed. Now, brethren, that's going to be quite a time. But I want to tell you, we ain't there yet. We could be close. we could be. And I don't say this for any other reason other than the reality of it. We could be very close. If we are, and God knows the time, and the Son knows the time, the hour of His coming, if we're close to this Revelation chapter 20, it means that we're close to 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. And that's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can rejoice not only in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ because I'm saved, but I can also rejoice in Satan being bound for 1,000 years. Now, if you'll notice, and I read this down through here somewhere, let me see if I can find it right quickly. Yes, at the end of verse 3. I'm going to close these three verses. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him in the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled." And after that, this jumped out at me. It says, he must, what? He must be loosed for a little season. How's he going to get loose? How's he going to get loose? The key has been turned. The chain has been placed upon him. And there's been a seal, for nobody can touch that chain nor that lock. How's he going to get out? Who's going to let him out? God. Because God has a purpose yet for him. And the only reason he's going to be out for a little season is because God has a purpose for him. And so can we not relate that all that's happening is happening according to God's purpose? The ungodliness and the wickedness is a hard pill to swallow. It is. But God's timetable and plan is being fulfilled.